Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, April 3rd. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Good show today. We've got the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight at 5 p.m. Should be a great test for the Warriors, who are coming off two wins over lesser opponents. And it's really important, if the Warriors are going to get to 60, they've got chances to do it. They can only lose one more game, but I'd love to see them run the table and end up with 61 wins. It's a mark of excellence right there. Also, just want to see the Warriors play their best basketball going into the playoffs, even without Stephen Curry. That means KD continuing to be a facilitator and get to the line. Draymond continuing to stuff the stat sheet and do everything he does defensively. Obviously not the defensive player that he was last year or the year before this year, but it's what he's capable of doing. I mean, the man is barely or nearly 27 years old. He's got so many more miles left in him, and he's going to turn it on in the playoffs. I think with the Warriors knowing that they're going to try to make the playoffs and get to the finals every single year, we're not going to see that excellence in the regular season as much. It's just not a thing that is sustainable. Plenty of other things to talk about the Warriors. We're going to take a look at two teams who might play the Warriors in the first round of the playoffs. One of those teams is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who will be the subject of our second segment. And the Timberwolves have played the Warriors well. And then the third segment, we'll take a look at the New Orleans Pelicans, who are currently in eighth, Minnesota in seventh. Lost their last four and losers of six out of their last 10. So things aren't looking good down on the bayou. But here by the bay, things are looking up. We've got three out of four All-Stars, and they seem to be clicking. Before we get to our first segment, just a few details about this podcast. You can pick it up on iTunes, iOS, Spotify, and Google Play, as well as LockedOnWarriors.com. I encourage you to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. It's a bite-sized chunk of NBA goodness for you every single weekday. It's the biggest stories as told by the local experts. You can find my media on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts for Forbes. And that includes a ton of Warriors-related news, as I am based here in Oakland. I'm also from Oakland, and that means Dubs all day. You can get in touch with me via Twitter at Koji Tare, KOGITARE, or via email at alikocarter11@gmail.com. That's alikocarter11@gmail. Locked On Warriors is also available on Facebook, Locked On Dubs, and Locked On NBA Net. Like, subscribe, enjoy. All right, it's time to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the Thunder are currently fifth in the Western Conference right now and could easily fall to seventh, especially if the Warriors help them with a loss tonight. So this game preview will also double as a potential playoff preview. The Thunder have been playing up and down, 6-4 in their last 10. They're 45-33. You know, they're possibly going to make 50 wins. And that's the hallmark of a good team right there. But this is a definitely streaky team. Fat win streak starting on March 8th that lasted 7 games until a loss at Boston. And then a 3-game losing streak starting on March 25th. They won their last game at New Orleans. But going back even further, a ton of losing streaks. They rarely bounce back from a loss with a win. But two long winning streaks have them 12 games above 500. And their net rating, 2.7, doesn't really instill confidence in me that they will make it past the first round. And certainly that they'll make it past the second round. That net rating is just mediocre. Also, they only assist the ball at the 27th ranked rate in the league. And there's two different directions you can take this. The first is they already have a playoff-ready style of basketball. We know that the game slows down. People ask, why does it slow down? It just does. People lock in And there's less willy-nilliness about it. It just slows down. And every possession matters. That's what happens. So with the Thunder already not a pass-happy team, they'll be able to grind out possessions and then finish it off with Russ doing what Russ does. Or, you know, when he's on the bench, Paul George controlling everything. Paul George is playing all 12 minutes of the first quarter right now, or he has been a lot of the time. And that has really stabilized what they're trying to do. And they can play their brand of defense. The defense has not held up as the season has gone on. Overall, a 104.6 defensive rating per NBA advanced stats. And that's not horrible, but not great. You could call it the loss of Andre Roberson. You could call it like season fatigue. You could call it regression to the mean, but whatever it is, their defense isn't as good as it was in the first half of the season. I think it involves a lot of gambling. You know, as goes Russell Westbrook, so go the Thunder. And without Andre Roberson, who doesn't gamble, who just plays staunch defense, there's just... And it reflects in their win-loss. If you look at their win-loss, they're gamblers, you know, and sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. But what I mean is there's no consistency there. They don't have the look of a good team that can weather one loss and then come back and dominate. They haven't shown that they can do that consistently. But obviously still one of the most talented teams in the league at the top, of course, starting four of the best players at their position in Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Steven Adams. The question is, are they starting the gel? And we'll find out tonight in Oklahoma City. There's going to be a lot of cupcakes out there. There's going to be a lot of... You know, I wonder if they still, you know, I mean, they got Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and Steven Adams turned out to be like a huge, huge get. Are they really still salty? And by they, I mean the fans in Oklahoma City. Are they really still salty about that? I think that would be a really interesting first round series, honestly, just because of the Kevin Durant element of it. And then he'd come in, he'd beat them. Maybe they would like cheer. You know, in a perfect world, I know that's what KD would want. You know, he probably has dreams about coming back to Oklahoma City and having his jersey retired and all that jazz. Because, like, I mean, let's be honest. He is the greatest player in Oklahoma City Thunder history. And Russell Westbrook will probably go down as the greatest player in Oklahoma City Thunder history. He did win an MVP, but he didn't lead the team to the finals. KD did that. And unless Westbrook equals or surpasses that, you know, I don't see it. KD really established, without Kevin Durant, there was no establishment of any sort of identity in Oklahoma City. I really do hope that the fans there start to realize that, start to realize what he meant to that franchise and, you know, kind of get over it a little bit and take the good with the spurning. But I'm speaking from a position of extreme privilege here, so I do understand that. But the Warriors will always have their pre-KD championship. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we check our privilege. Stay tuned for a look at the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we're back, and we're talking Timberwolves, and we're talking Jimmy Butler, who practiced 5-on-5 for the first time yesterday since his knee injury just after the All-Star break. This could be huge, and here's why. They're fighting for playoff positioning, and they're trying to get right. It's a lot like the Warriors right now, except the Warriors aren't fighting for a playoff position, but they are trying to get right. And with Jimmy Butler coming back potentially before the start of the playoffs, they could get a few games in with their whole roster and see what they have. And I think that's really, really important. I've had conversations about this with Miles, my roommate and frequent guest on this show, regarding the Spurs, because he's like, why bring Kawhi back? And I'm just like, you gotta believe you can win, right? You have to believe you can win. So Jimmy Butler is coming back, and then they're gonna take their shot. you know, and it could be against the Warriors. It very may well be against the Warriors. That's currently the way things are set up right now. And the poor Pelicans, losers of four in a row. But we'll get to them in the third segment. So I want to talk about Karl Anthony Towns as well. Does a little bit of everything, can pull it out to the three. You got to start maybe Kevon Looney on him. You know, this could be a series where Kevon gets, you know, the start every time. And if not Kevon, then probably JaVale McGee. But I like how we could make Karl Anthony Towns work on the defensive end as well against Kevon. Pull him out because Kevon can shoot the three. He should be encouraged to shoot the three. He should be encouraged to shoot from the mid-range when he has those opportunities. And against the Thunder, I think you definitely start JaVale against the size and offensive rebounding of Steven Adams. But back to the Timberwolves, I really like what I'm seeing from Kevon Looney as far as the overall scope of his game. He's got moves down low. He's got footwork. He can take the 19-footer. He can take the 23-9. He needs to work on his rebounding a little bit. I would like to see him control the boards a little bit more powerfully, though. When he's on the floor with a guy like Draymond, Draymond's gonna control the boards. KD has done a good job of controlling the boards the last few games. But I really want to see Kevon go for it a little bit more. Like, he goes for it on defense and blocking shots. His body always in the right place to be able to get his hand up and block a shot. His sneaky long arms making things happen for the Warriors constantly, and probably his best feature. So going up against a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, who has the footwork, who can bring it out to three, and who, you know, can get offensive rebounds, Kevon's going to have his hands full, but I'd love to see him get the start there. We've also got Jimmy Butler versus Klay Thompson, a battle of the two best two-way shooting guards in the league, and I don't count Kawhi as a shooting guard, and I don't count James Harden as a two-way shooting guard. Even though he does get a lot of steals, a lot of that, honestly, is gambling. Whereas Jimmy Butler and Klay Thompson make their names by moving their feet and staying with the other team's best perimeter threat. They do it night in and night out. And interestingly, there's no guarantee in this series, if it does happen, that Klay and Jimmy Butler would be guarding each other. Jimmy might take a turn on Kevin Durant, leaving Andrew Wiggins to take a turn on Klay Thompson. I think that is more likely the situation. I think Butler is going to take it upon himself to try to corral Durant and make life hard on him. And then the size and length of Andrew Wiggins on Klay Thompson could make it difficult for him to get good shots up as well. But Wiggins, not known for his defense, Klay could run him in circles around those screens. On the other end, I do see Klay guarding Jimmy Butler. And that's just the reality of Jimmy Butler being the biggest perimeter threat on the team. What a luxury for Klay Thompson that he's only the third most dangerous perimeter threat on the team, and he's arguably the second greatest shooter in the history of the National Basketball Association. The Warriors have done well for themselves. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we've earned the right to pat ourselves on the back. Stay tuned for a look at the New Orleans Pelicans. Heyo, it's that time. It's time to talk about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Podcasts are where smart advertisers are going to get their products out to the people, and Locked On Warriors is no different. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, our rates are extremely reasonable, and we know how to market. Send me an email at alicocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details. Our connected audience is waiting to hear about your products, so get at me. And we're back, and we're talking about the New Orleans Pelicans, losers of their last four games. They've fallen to eighth in the Western Conference and are skirting with disaster right now, one game ahead of the Denver Nuggets, who are at 42-35, look to be a pretty good team that's going to miss the playoffs. The New Orleans Pelicans, 43-34 currently, a half game behind Minnesota and a full game behind Utah, who sits sixth, and who we're going to get to tomorrow in our list of potential playoff matchups. I'm wondering whether or not I want to exclude San Antonio from this list, just because they might be going on their little late season surge just to justify and show everyone, hey, we're the Spurs. We haven't gone anywhere. We are going to get home court in the first round. We're going to make it happen. And then, hey, we might even beat the Houston Rockets in the second round. Who knows? Like, that Spurs. So I don't even know if I want to do a segment on them. But this segment is about the New Orleans Pelicans. And the first and most important question, of course, is who do they start against Anthony Davis? I think this one's got to be JaVale McGee. It's just got to be JaVale McGee. You smother that guy with as much size as possible. You make JaVale work. And obviously, JaVale's not going to get as many minutes as Ant on the court, you know, if this does end up being the first round matchup. So you bring in Zaza, Kevon, David West. Give him goes on Anthony Davis. Because Davis is going to be playing 40 to 42 minutes a game in the playoffs. That's just the way that it's going to be. It's too bad about DeMarcus Cousins, but the Pelicans formed their identity around Davis initially, and they know how to play around him. And they're clearly not clicking right now, but clearly able to win games with Davis as their sole superstar. Davis averaging 28 points on 19 shots. 34% from three could be better, but I mean, that he's taking more than two threes a game is, you know, shows the evolution in his game. 11.1 rebounds, only 2.3 assists. We want to see him move the ball a little bit more, but four stocks, that steals plus blocks, just absolutely monstrous. And this is over the course of the entire season. Jrue Holiday averaging 19 points. Mirotić coming on in 25 games, averaging 12 points. Etuan Moore, 12 points. So there's some good players on this team. And then you've got the assists, just absolutely assisting the ball like crazy. 8 assists for Rajon Rondo, 6 for Jrue Holiday. DeMarcus Cousins was assisting the ball 5.4 times a game. So talented. So talented. But this team has the chops to be able to hang with the Warriors for a few games, especially the Warriors without Stephen Curry in the first round, potentially for the entire round. Quinn Cook is going to have his hands full with Jrue Holiday. If my prediction is correct that he will be added to the roster in favor of Omri Caspi, we shall see. But the Pelicans run. Generally, running with the Warriors is a recipe for disaster. But without Stephen Curry in the first round, it could be a recipe for a few upsets, you know, in single games, not an upset in the entire. I don't see New Orleans winning 4 out of 7 games against the Warriors. I certainly don't see the Timberwolves winning 4 out of 7 games against the Warriors. And, you know, Oklahoma City, they're gamblers. They're gamblers. So they could absolutely win 4 out of 7. But New Orleans is a good team. They're a pretty good rebounding team. They can run it down your throat. They'll get you in the fast break. And they're obviously well-coached. Former Warriors associate head coach and longtime head coach around the league, Alvin Gentry, leading the attack there. Much like the Timberwolves, a very good shooting team. 48% field goals and 36% from three, just over league average for the whole team. They take 28 a game, making 10. So a team that you're going to have to run off the line, particularly their very good three-point shooters. Darius Miller shooting 41.8%, as is Etuan Moore. So more so than the Wolves, a team you definitely have to run off the three-point line. And I do want to note the career resurgence of Emeka Okafor. Very exciting. The Warriors will play the Pelicans on Saturday in New Orleans, and that game should give a good idea of what we can expect from this iteration of the Pelicans, as the Warriors played them with DeMarcus Cousins earlier in the season. It's going to be very interesting to see how things have changed, especially the Warriors without Stephen Curry as well. So two different iterations of these teams going up against each other on Saturday, but we'll definitely get to that in Friday's show. That's about as much time as I have today. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be looking at the Utah Jazz. We'll be recapping the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Haven't figured out what that third segment is going to look like yet, but I will keep you posted. And definitely take a listen, if you haven't already, to Monday's show. It came out late Monday, and it's got... We get into the nitty-gritty of Kevin Durant's ejection, Patrick McCaw's scary injury, Klay Thompson's return, and Quinn Cook's availability for the playoffs. So definitely take a listen there. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.